Let's come to the Lord in prayer first before we open up His Word. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that You are the head of this church, that You are Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. You say in Your Word, Lord God, that Your name is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we together as Your children, as Your humble servants, as the body of Christ, we proclaim and we declare from the bottom of our heart that Jesus, You are Lord in this house, O God. So as we unfold and unpack Your Word, Spirit of the living God, we ask that You teach us Your Word. For here we are, Lord God, Your humble servants. We are ready to listen to Your Word. I pray against any spirit of distraction, O Lord God. I pray against any spirit of division, O Lord God, that trying to take our focus away from You. Prepare our hearts, O God, for Your servants are listening, O Lord. We honor You, we love You, we adore You, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Pray, O God, that today that all men will draw to You. Prepare our hearts to receive Your Word. If you believe in that prayer, we pray in the mighty name of our Jesus Christ, and the people of God say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you. Thank you. Today, we're going to talk about lesson two from the First Samuel, how to listen to God's voice. One of the most common questions that I get as a pastor is, how do I know the will of God? And secondly, it would be, how do I know that this is God speaking to me? How can I listen to God's voice? Now, spoiler alert here, do you know that your Heavenly Father wants to communicate with you? God is one who reaches out, breaks through the history, and He wants to communicate with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. The heart of God is that He wants to speak to us. And today, as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, it paints a spiritual landscape of the people of God during that time. Now, read with me together, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Are you ready? The loudest voice that you can at the count of three. One, two, three. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there was no frequent vision. The boy Samuel. Now, scholars have debated in terms of the age, but most likely they have reached a consensus that the boy Samuel is around between 10 to 12. And during the time, it says that Samuel was already ministering before the Lord. Last week in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, we learned that through Hannah's prayer, the Lord has provided and rewarded and answered her prayer and given her a boy Samuel. And I love it when Pastor Randall said, Hannah prayed for a son. Hannah wanted a son, not this Hannah here. But God wanted a Samuel, a prophet. And we praise God from there. And from there, Samuel grew in the presence of God. He was ministering before the Lord. However, in the very first verse itself, immediately we understand the spiritual condition of Israel during that time. It says that the word of the Lord was rare. It was rare. Why it was rare? During those times, it was a transition time. From the book of Judges, the very final verse in the book of Judges says that in those days, there was no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The word of God was rare because people didn't seek the Lord. People weren't listening. There is a spiritual tone deaf in Israel during that time. No one is listening to God. It was during those times, it was a transitory time. It was from judges to kings. And Samuel is a very last judge, a faithful judge and a good judge. And from there, God used prophet Samuel to usher in a united kingdom of Israel, first appointed Saul, then David. It was a confusing time. It was a chaotic time during this transition period. Why? Because the word of the Lord was... Because the word of the Lord was... Here we learn a very powerful and an important spiritual lesson. When the word of God is rare in our lives, meaning to say if the word of God is absent, you will experience chaos and confusion. Such is the nation of Israel during that time. I beg your pardon, it's not a nation yet, but such is the people of Israel during that time. Hence, as we enter into 1 Samuel chapter 3, it is so important for us to learn how then do we listen to God's voice. Do you want to listen to God's voice? Do you desire to hear what God has to say to you? And today, as we dive into 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to go through verse by verse, and then from there, we're going to glean how we can listen to God's voice. First thing first, we need to recognize the voice of God. Everyone say, recognize the voice of God. We need to be able to recognize the voice of God. And then verse 2, it then says that at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. Meaning to say, Eli, during the time, he was around between 95 to 98. How do we know that? Because when we read 1 Samuel chapter 4, the following chapter, verse 15, it says that he was 98. So during this time, we know that he is very, very old. And Samuel is very, very young. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out. Meaning to say, during the time, it was perhaps in the early morning, perhaps 2, 3 a.m. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Samuel was very close to the ark, meaning to say he was close to the presence of God. And then the Lord called Samuel. And the Lord said, and he said, Samuel said, it's an 11-year-old voice, here I am. The voice hasn't broken yet. And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, 98-year-old man said, I did not go. Lie down again. Stop bothering me. I want to sleep. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Do you know that children can hear the voice of God too? It is never too late to teach a young child about God, to listen to God, to hear God. And again he went and Eli said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7. He then said, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, we just read that the boy was ministering to the Lord. And in chapter 2, we also read that Samuel was ministering before the Lord. In fact, he grew in favor of the Lord. But here in verse 7, it says that, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Do you know that it is possible for us to minister before the Lord and still do not know the Lord? What was Samuel doing at the age of 11, 12, ministering before the Lord? Perhaps he was helping out in the lamp, with the Lamb of God, lighting it up. Perhaps he was helping to prepare the offering and sacrifices. He was doing all these chores. He was growing up in the house of God. He knows the regulations. He knows what to do. He knows what's the right songs to sing. He knows when to say amen. He knows when to raise up his hand. He knows all that, but the Bible says, yet he did not know the Lord. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. That's the reason why I am so passionate about next generation ministry. I tell you why. It is so important for our children and our children's friends to know the Lord. Not to know about the Lord, but to know the Lord. Do you know it's possible that you have a father, but you don't really know your father. It is very possible that you know about someone, but you don't really know the person. And today God is inviting us, calling us, urging us to not only know about him, but to know him. To not only minister before him, to serve him, but to know him intimately, personally. And that is the call of God. The first thing we need to know in terms of how to listen to God's voice is to first recognize the voice of God. To know that that is God who is calling you. You know why people could not recognize the voice of God? Distraction. Disengaged. I assume that during that time, when the word of God was rare, it's not because God is not speaking. Perhaps, the people of Israel, they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Every parent will know this. We love to spend time with our children. We love it, absolutely. My favorite time with Zachary, my little Zach, I like to play drone with him. His latest game is Exploding Kitten. Loves Exploding Kitten. Yesterday, I think we played like 5 times. Every time he would say, "Dad, see who's going to kaboom first," you know. And every time when my son desires to spend time with me, guess what? Although I go kaboom, you know. Don't worry if you don't know that game, but the whole idea is that you're going to explode. And I mean, not really explode, but you know. We live in a generation that we're extremely distracted, you know. I've known of people, they can watch a movie at the same time, they play games, listen to music, and they still talk to their friends. I mean, I don't know how people do that. It's really, really amazing. But here we have young boy Samuel learning to recognize the voice of God. We need to remove distraction so that we're able to recognize the voice of God. Hence, in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The second thing when it comes to listening to God's voice is, everyone say, ready to listen. Ready to listen. And we kept on reading. Then the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So this is the third time. He rose again and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, now lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Eli is preparing Samuel to tune in and listen to God's voice. You can't live a distracted life and expect to listen to the voice of God. I'm going to say that one more time. You can't expect to live a distracted, such a busy life that even God is speaking to you is drowned out by the rest of the voices. And God speaks in a gentle, still, small voice. Amen. And here we have a spiritual mentor, Eli. Start teaching this young boy to discern God's voice. He's willing, he's ready to prepare, listen. Now, my wife and I, on Monday is my day off. One of our favorite pastimes is to go to Costco. I am not a multitasker, I can tell you that. You know, I can only do one thing at a time. If I drive and talk, most likely than not, I will miss a turn. All right. And in fact, there's once I drive and talk, I missed so many turns, it took me 1 hour to come to church. Supposed to be a 30-minute thing. But I was so engrossed in the conversation. I passed the freeway, the exit, after exit. Then I realized I was in the middle of Timbuktu. And I sometimes in our conversation, I find it hard to stay focused because I'm driving, you know. And then when my wife said, listen, I'm like, okay, I better start listening. Pay attention. Prepare yourself. Brace yourself. It's important that we prepare ourselves to listen to God. Now, how do you do that? Different people, they do it differently. But the key thing is you need to focus. You need to set aside the time. Just as Samuel, he went back, he was close to the ark, stay close to the ark. He was close to the ark and he was ready. He was ready. Is this man going to speak again? I had a feeling that he was waiting in anticipation. He was expecting God to speak to him. Whenever we come before the Lord, we must expect that the Lord will reveal himself to us and to speak to us. Because our God is a God who wants to communicate with us. He created us and he wants to communicate with us. In verse 10, we then learn. It's going to happen now. Young Samuel boy was lying down there. I don't think he was asleep. I had a feeling he's a bit excited. He's 10, 11, you know, excited. Then truly, voice came again. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, now interestingly, if you read this, it's actually quite different, slightly different from what Eli had to say. I had a feeling that Samuel was really nervous. You know what Samuel said? You know what he was supposed to say first? He was supposed to say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. What did Samuel say? I mean, he was 10, 11. Let's cut in some slack. He was so excited, perhaps a bit nervous. He said, speak. Forgot to say Lord, you know. Speak, your servant hears. When you ready your heart to listen to God, God will speak. When you ready your heart to listen to God, God will speak. Hence, we learn from Jesus in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus often withdrew. Everyone say withdrew. Jesus often withdrew himself to lonely places and prayed. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus withdraw to a lonely place to pray? Because it's in the midst of quietness, without distraction. That is when you can start to focus and zoom in and to be totally immersed in the presence of God. If you want to hear the voice of God, you got to set yourself apart. You got to dedicate a time and a place. Some time ago, I don't do it anymore. I'm going to share with you a spiritual discipline that I used to do. Don't think I'm weird, by the way, okay? I know when I share this, some people think that, what? You know, but this is how I help myself to focus. Because I'm a very distracted person. Gazillion of things, you know, in my mind all the time. So you know how I focus? When I do my quiet time, this is what I used to do. I will lit the candle. And I'll look at the fire. Now, of course, by the way, this is nothing weird, all right? There's nothing weird about it. And then I tell God, God, help me to focus. Help me to zoom in. Help me to meditate upon your Spirit of God. I invite you to lead and guide me. Here I am, Lord. Speak, O Lord. I can tell my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, every time we come before the Lord in all sincerity, in all seriousness, God will speak. This is when Christ withdrew himself, we have to withdraw ourselves. Thirdly, how do we listen to God's voice? First, we recognize, then we are ready, then we have to receive the message of God. And God is about to tell Samuel his heart. Now, when it comes to the voice of God, we know that there are different types. Or there are different types of voices speaking to us. It could be ourselves speaking to ourselves. It could be the enemy speaking to us. The devil also speaks to us. It could be the voices in our head, but certainly God speaks to us too. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold," now this is a lot to put on an 11-year-old, all right? "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears it will tingle, will be shocked. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew.'" Pay attention here. He says, "For the iniquity that he already knew." So Eli knew. "Because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them." In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Eli sons, two Eli sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were described as worthless men. Some translations say useless men. Some say they are scoundrels. Why? Here we know that they blaspheme against God. Do you know how they did that? They used the Lord's temple to fulfill their stomach appetite and their sexual appetite in the very temple of God. And the Bible says, though they are Eli's sons, they grew up in the temple, they grew up in church, yet they did not know the Lord. Now, once again, that's why we are so serious about next generation ministry. Every one of our children, my heart and my cry is that you will know the Lord. Coming to church doesn't mean you know the Lord. Young people, hear my heart. Hear the heart of a pastor here. Just because you follow your parents coming to church does not mean you know the Lord. My heart is that you know the Lord, that you walk with him, that you come and taste that the Lord is good. "Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." This is very, very difficult for an 11-year-old. Now, when we receive a message from God, how then do we know it's a message from God? It's very important. It's very important for us to be able to discern, because not everything you hear is the word of God or from the message of God. There are three tests. I mean, there are many tests, but today I'm going to give you three tests. It all starts with the letter C. It's quite simple. The first thing is, it has to be consistent with God's word. Everyone say consistent with God's word. It has to be consistent with God's word. The message of God can never contradict the word of God. Not even the principle of the word of God. Never. Absolutely not. Every time when you receive something that contradicts or is not consistent with the word of God, you got to be very careful. If not, you reject it immediately. The Bible says in Psalm 119, it says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet means the word of God is good for the now moment. It's immediate illumination. And it's a light unto my path, meaning to say the word of God is also able to show you the direction of your life. How good is that? That's why the word of God is very powerful. It gives you the now, what you need now. How should I manage my finances? How should I treat my spouse? How should I raise my children? The now word God will give you, but God will also give you the direction of your path. How, O Lord God, can I serve you? Which direction should I take, O Lord God? What a beautiful thing, isn't it? And it's so important as we come before the Lord, when we listen to him, it's consistent with the word of God. Amen? Now, secondly, it has to be cradled in God's peace. Meaning to say that you have the peace of God covering you, governing your heart. So important. The Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word rule simply means it's like an empire making a decision. You know, red card, yellow card, green card, you know. I don't think they have green card. It's red or yellow, but anyway. Let the peace of Christ be the referee in terms of the message you receive. Now, over the years, I have received some interesting voices, you know. And also, it has to be confirmed by God's people. Yeah, it be confirmed by God's people. So as a pastor, I've been a pastor for 15 years now. I get a lot of people telling me different things. All right, I'll give you a few examples. There's once, I kid you not, you know, I was preaching and I was in my previous church, and then we had an altar call. People came out and they were praying, and then one guy came to me, and this is a Christian leader, all right. He said, "Kenny, Pastor Kenny, I felt the Lord tell me something." I said, "Yes, please." I felt the Lord wants me to pray for you. I said, "Very good. But I pray that you will grow taller." Now, at that moment, I didn't know how to respond. Because if I say no, does it mean that I do not have enough faith? But if I say yes, I'm like, but God, I'm actually very secured, you know. I'm happy with how you have created me. So I didn't know what to do. So I was just stunned. I was stunned. But he looked so serious. So I'm like, oh. Another story. I was in my office. I received a call. A call was patched through me. It's from one of our congregation. Not this congregation, yeah. Guy rang me and said, "Pastor Kenny, I heard from the Lord." I said, "Okay, that's good. What has the Lord spoken to you? Do you realize there are a lot of missing people around?" "No." "Yeah, Pastor, let me tell you, there are a lot of people missing around." I said, "Okay." Then he said, then he asked me, "Do you know where they are?" I said, "I don't know who are the missing people, so I don't really know who they are or where they are." "Pastor, I know where they are. They are buried in someone's house." that was heavy. I mean, immediately in my mind, I was thinking, all right, has this guy forgotten his mat, you know? Anyway, he said, "But Pastor, can I come and see you and talk about this?" Anyway, against my wisdom, I went to see him. More like he came to see me. Safe space, all right? Public space. He came and said, "Pastor, I truly felt that a lot of people were buried in this house." And he gave me the address too. And he said the Lord told him that. So the first thing I asked him is, "Have you called the police, by the way?" He said, "Yes." "What did the police say?" "They didn't believe me." In my house, thinking for good reason, you know. Now, I give you another one. More reason during COVID-19 time. During COVID-19, most of you probably were not here, yeah? At the time, we were around maybe 60, 70, perhaps 80 of us during the time. Can't remember. There was this huge controversy about whether we should take a jab, yeah, COVID-19. So many people came, some pastors. You know, they'll come and tell me, say, "Kenny, you must tell people that they must not take COVID-19, vaccination. Must, you know, the word is must not." I said, "Okay, that's a very strong word, yeah? So I'm trying to look for, is there a Bible verse that says, thou shalt not take COVID-19 vaccination?" And then he said, the person said, "That is the mark of the beast." Now, of course, the brother was very sincere. He was trying to ask me to warn the people of God. But how do I filter that? Because I have a responsibility to the flock that the Lord has asked me to love and to lead. Number one, is it consistent with God's word? Now, let me tell you this. You can never get the mark of the beast by accident. You actually have to denounce Christ. Just because you take a jab doesn't mean you denounce Christ. Yeah? So, okay, number one, is not really consistent with God's word. Yeah? Number two, do I have the peace of God? So, I'm thinking to myself, if I were to tell people that, and it happened to be not true, and something were to happen to the people that God has asked me to love and to lead, man, that peace of God just immediately left me, you know. It was so fast. Third, is it confirmed by the people of God? So I asked the pastors around. I tried to read a lot of articles. And of course, when you have a virus problem, you talk to a virologist. And at that time, we only have one virologist in the house, and that is Pastor Randall. So I'm thinking, God is so good. God is so good to us. You know, God knew that as a family, we're going to face this. A lot of controversial people discussing different stuff. So I asked, so if your car is broken, you look for a mechanic. Your heart got a problem, you look for a cardiologist. So it's a virus problem, you look for a virus expert, right? So I asked Pastor Randall. The time he wasn't a pastor, I said, Randall, you're an expert in this field. He was still working for CSL. I'm like, what do you think? I shouldn't have asked him that question. It was, I think, maybe a three-hour talk. I'm just kidding. Very detailed. So as a church, what do? We inform the church. We tell people this is the expert opinion. I can give you my spiritual insights, but in the end, you make the decision. I didn't have that peace. Now, but you understand, Samuel, that time, the message that he received was a difficult message. However, we also know this. This no longer works, eh? So if we go to the next verse. Samuel's message to Eli is actually a confirmation. Because we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in the previous chapter, a man of God has already go and see Eli. The man of God has already go and see Eli. And that man of God actually pronounced judgment upon Eli's house because he did not discipline his own children. And when Eli received that message, he knew that was the confirmation. Now, when it comes to receiving the message of God, we also need to respond to the message of God. A lot of times, this is what we do. We want to hear God talking to us. We want to listen to God talking to us. However, sometimes we don't like what we hear. I can tell you this, as a child of God, there are many times God tells me things that I do not like to hear. How many children love what their parents tell them? Oh, Faith, Joe, you have done well. Oh, you're a precious child. Most children would think that their parents are, you know, I know. You fill in the blank. I'm not going to say it. So understandably, in verse 15, Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid. Because that was a tough message, man, to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel said, here I am. What was it that he told you? Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. I mean, if you lay on Samuel like that, I mean, if I'm the 11-year-old, I'll tell you immediately. All right, you ask for it, I'll tell you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Eli himself said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good. When we receive the message of God, we also have to respond to the message of God. It's very clear when it comes to the Word of God, there are four functions. First, teaching, meaning to give instruction. To teach you who God is. To teach you about Him, about His will, His character, His love for you, and who you are is a teaching. It's encouragement. Lots of good things there. Teaching, so that you know. But it's also for reproof. Do you know what's reproof? It's rebuke. Not very nice. But it's important.
for correction, and for training in righteousness. So when we respond to God, it's so important when we receive the message of God, we also respond in such a way that we obey His word. Now you hear this, yeah? I'm going to explain this one more time. You see this cycle. First, we need to recognize the voice of God. We must prepare ourselves to listen, to receive, and to respond, meaning to say you act in obedience. And the more you respond to God in obedience, the more God will speak to you. I'll say it one more time. The more you obey the message of God, the more you listen to God's voice. Very simple. If a child do not wish to listen to the father or to the mother, no matter how many times the parents urge, plead, explain, beg, stern, rebuke, if a child is unwilling to change, the parent over time will speak less and less. Why? That's the reason why the word of God was rare during the time. But I've got good news to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is how chapter 3 ends. And Samuel grew. The Lord was with him. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. Nor Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The chapter begins with the word of the Lord is rare, but it ends with, through Samuel, God is going to start speaking to his people again, because there is one person who is willing to listen to God. And because of Samuel, this important leader who helps the Israel to transition from judges to a monarchy, and through Samuel, he appointed the first king, Saul, and the second king, King David, he sees through a peaceful transition. Why? Because a person is willing to not only listen, but to obey God's word. And my question for every one of us here today, as I invite the worship team to come, is will you be a Samuel in your sphere of influence? If I were to ask you today, in your sphere of influence, is the word of God rare or is the word of God regular? Is the word of God in absence or the word of God is in plenty? I want to ask you to evaluate your friendship group, to evaluate your school, your university, your workplace, your family. Is the word of God rare? Or is it regular? Every parent, I want to encourage you, especially those with young children, tell them about God. Teach them the word of God. Before they go to sleep, pray with them. Tell them about your day. Tell them about your struggle. Tell them who God is. Tell them why they are precious to God. Tell them that they are created in the image of God. Tell them that. Instruct them. And my prayer is this, that we all of us and this house will become a faithful priest, plural, who will do what is according to God's heart and God's mind. Can you imagine this? I just want you to take a moment to imagine this. I want you to imagine, what if today you become a Samuel in your family? What if you become a Samuel in your marriage? What if you become a Samuel as a father and mother? What if you become a Samuel in your school, in your uni, in your workplace? A Samuel, a faithful priest, one who will do according to the heart of God and the mind of God. Not according to our own heart, not according to our own desires, but according to His heart. What change and what transformation would it take place?
through Samuel, the fate and the future of Israel change. God used Samuel to usher in that change. Just as God used Samuel, God can use you to bring change in your friendship group, in your school. And I pray and I pray, and this is truly the prayer of my heart, and this church and this house, we will be called faithful priests, will act according to His heart and to His mind, and they will bring transformational change, not just in this house, but in this community, in this state, and four walls beyond. Let us all stand as we come to a time of worship, and I want you to take this as His worship. Just take this time. Just let the word of God sing to you. And my prayer is that you will hear the call of God to be Samuel in your sphere of influence.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord.
We sing one more time. You give.
You give life. You are love. You bring light. Darkness, You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord.
It's Your breath.
It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Your people, Lord God, we come to You and we cry out to You. say, Lord God, it is truly our heart's desire to be that faithful priest, oh Lord God, to do according to your heart and to your mind. In areas where we falter, we ask, oh God, that your grace will supply us and that you'll raise us up, oh God. That you'll pick us up, oh God, that you will help us. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God, for every single individual standing before you, Lord God. I ask the grace of God to come upon your people, Father. I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, oh Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the finished work on the cross. Because you are the faithful priest who have obeyed God right to the end. You lived, you died, and you rose again. You are the faithful priest. And because you are the faithful priest, Jesus, we can be that faithful priest. So I pray in the name of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare and proclaim that this house, oh God, that you'll raise up faithful priests, both men and women, who shall be faithful, who shall be consistent, who shall be loyal, Lord God. And that we will say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that we want to do your will in our lives, oh God. So bless your people, empower your people, Lord. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. And the people of God say, amen and amen. Let's give glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's give glory to Jesus. Do you receive his word today? Let's be faithful priests. Let's be sent unto the Lord. Amen. Make a difference in your world. The Lord bless you. Next week, we're going to continue 1 Samuel chapter 4. If you can, please read 1 Samuel chapter 5 as well, as we talk about the failure of leadership or the darkness of leadership. I know the title sounds a bit dark, but trust me, it's going to be amazing what we can learn and glean from 1 Samuel, the very word of God. The Lord bless you and keep you, and I'll see you again next Sunday. God bless.